Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Oi! Oi! Get back in that war room! Get back in the... What is going on?
Guys!
Sorry.
It's Botcast time! It's Botcast time. And welcome to the... welcome to May's Botcast, where my plan was to go in today and unleash, let out, free my team that have been locked away in my war room for the last 9 weeks. I'm recording this at the very beginning of April. And for all of February and all of March, 8 of my top guys have been, have you been ensconced?
Expedited.
Well, Emma's had some children since we've been in there by the sounds of it.
It was 9 weeks, not 9 months.
No.
Calm down. It's only a war room. The whole thing, I've got the guys here. So let me introduce who I've got on the podcast with me today. First of all, I've got the leader of the podcast crew. If this was a movie, Bruce Willis would be playing, because he'd be like the leader. Like if it's Armageddon, okay, then you're playing the Bruce Willis role. And that is Andy Wilcox.
Oh, wow, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Wow,
you like that, yeah?
I do, yeah. I thought you were looking at Nathan when you said that.
Well, he's a bit knackered and old now, much yourself. Yeah. So you've led the team in there. And if we stick with the Armageddon theme, then Liv Tyler is here. How do you feel about that, Emma?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
I'll take that one. Yeah. Steve Buscemi.
I have no idea.
Which, for those that have watched Armageddon and are familiar with the role that Steve Buscemi played, I apologise in advance to Nathan when he finds that out. Now this is very unusual, Nathan. Nathan's had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the podcast studio. Say hello, Nathan.
Hi, guys.
So Nathan is our kind of... all things technical, kind of. I mean, the word guru is used, I think, too.
Oracle, I think, is what we call
it. Oracle is a bet. That's what he is, because there's nothing technical Nathan can't fix. Although earlier today, when Claire's tyre went flat in the car park, you were nowhere to be seen, Nathan. When we were changing the tyre. And technically, that is a technical job.
Well, after fixing yours, Nige, you know.
Actually, that is true.
Well, there was nothing could beat it.
He did Google how to do it then.
If it's true, once you've changed a 22-incher.
Don't go back.
Those little 14-inches are nothing, are they? And then we've also got someone here who is this your debut on the podcast?
Sort of.
Ah, yes, you've been present before, haven't you?
Yes.
So this is Cameron, who is with us on a year's intern. I was saying internment then. That's probably feels a bit like that.
Sometimes it does.
Probably feels a bit like internment.
A little bit.
So Cameron's here on with us for a year. He's been with us 9 months now. And I think it's fair to say, you know, has become a reasonably key part of the War Room team. Would you agree, Bruce?
I haven't agreed for you to go back to university, so I'm not sure what's going to happen there. We don't want you to go.
Okay, So let's say, folks, this book, I thought, would be very helpful if we explored what actually went on in the war room and indeed some of the thinking behind the whole war room concept. Because what I learned a long time ago, and I've talked about it at a number of national events in the past, is that concentrated effort is worth way more and gets a lot more done than just effort. And that's a kind of easy thing. It kind of trips off the tongue. It's an easy statement to say. But the war room is a really good example of that in practice, because there is no way, guys, is there, that you would have got anything like this immense amount of work done if you'd been doing it as part of your normal kind of day-to-day environment.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We were trapped away from everything, all the distractions. It was really good.
Trapped, being the word there.
Trapped in the war room.
Well, let's talk about it. So let's just think back. So when Andy and I called the meeting and we told you what we were planning to do. So we told you that we were going to take you, effectively, you were relieved of your relieved of your duties. I think Nathan looked a little bit faint at that point, but we weren't actually firing him. And we were going to move you upstairs, because initially we moved you into the boardroom. So how did you feel? Can you remember on that first day?
It was good. It was like a digital detox. When you go on holiday and you actively don't look at your phone and you can just concentrate on what you want to do. That happened to still be work, but the distraction of everything else you thought you had to do was suddenly released.
Yes.
And you could get on with what needed to be done, most importantly.
Because and certainly, I mean, it helps here, because you love kind of building things and creating Absolutely. Things. And that's really what this whole, the whole War Room project was about. You had a brief to, like, we're going to build this. So, I mean, in that regard, I guess if we try and kind of create an analogy, this would be like... this would be like a 7-year-old kid being given like the Lego camper van type thing.
Oh yes,
you know that's kind of what that was for you. Emma, how about you then? When you got the nod, we're going to go upstairs in the war room. We're going to create these things.
Yeah, no, it was really exciting. It was nice to know that we're all going to be put up there together. I think we, as a team, we learnt a lot about each other and we all developed together. But the project in itself was really great. And now what's come out of it was the right thing to do.
So we announced this, you're all going to go in the war room. Everyone's like really excited because they're out of the day-to-day. It's all a little bit different. But Andy, you knew that there was a plan that had to be executed here. So talk us through how you went about planning the work and scheduling this. And because you guys ended up working, I mean, you did put the hours in. You put a proper shift in, didn't you?
We were working 12-hour days.
In early, home late. You know, there were quite a few weekends you were in as well. Mm-hmm. So how did you plan this?
Well, the best thing we've done, which I wish we had the wall space to do now, is we bought some of that whiteboard sticky back paper and we coated the entire wall in the boardroom. And the first thing I did was draw a timeline on it, which was the 9-week timeline. And on that timeline, I drew every sort of point that I wanted something to happen. So I wanted to be live at
the
time.
Hang on, so just stop there a second. So what you did, first of all, so... this big roll, well, in fact, it was multiple rolls, wasn't
it?
Well, I think of a sticky back plastic from Blue Peter days. But, I mean, it isn't. It's this, what's it called? It's the...
Magic whiteboard. Stuff,
magic whiteboard, yeah. Temporary whiteboard. You can stick it on any wall and it just peels off. And you can, of course, write on it. So it's a great way to make this work. But you literally covered the wall down this one wall. It was kind of, I don't know, 12 metres of wall. And you mapped it all out and you had all the different... weeks, first of all, were on there, and then the days on there. And then we had the list, because we'd done the brainstorming before we started, hadn't we? So we had the list. I think when we started, it was like 50. As you were going through it, you identified two or three more. But there were 50 implementation plans. Mm. And you had them. So what you then did is we started and kind of worked back. And so they've all got to be delivered by then, which means this is going to happen there, this is going to happen there. And then you then allocated them out, didn't you? So each someone in the team owned each implementation
plan. Right. So we bought about 300,000 post-it notes, and on every implementation plan had a post-it note. So we'd write the title of the implementation plan and whoever owned it, and then on the wall we broke that down into sections. So the first thing that had to happen was the implementation plan had to be written. So that would be in one section, and then we also had to write gated content for it, and lead magnets, and ungated, and blog posts, and sales pages, and they all had their own post-it notes as well. And we bought something that we all enjoyed very much, which was a little red stamp, rubber stamp, that said completed on it. So every time we completed an IP or something, we would stamp that post-it note and then move it along to the next section, which meant that the campaign needed doing. And when you looked at the wall, you could see the progress, because you could see the post-it notes moving up further along the wall. And every day you'd come in and you knew what had to happen that day. Mm-hmm. The timeline corresponded with what was on the post-it notes. And it was just... like the best thing I've ever worked on. It was brilliant. It was sad to move out of there, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about coming out in a minute or two. But before we do that, I just want to just play a few things in here, because it's important that the podcast is it needs to articulate clearly the kind of value of this whole thing. And if I look back to the really big stuff that we've done, even if I go back to the beginning with like MyMag, so. When we had the idea for MyMag, that's what Sue's idea,
for the magazine, and then the whole thing was published, and then I thought there might be a product in this. And long story, she and I had a night away in London. It was a Christmas present from my parents. They came down and babysat because the kids were a lot younger in 2004 than they are today. And we got the train down from Birmingham to London. And on the train, we got talking about what we might be able to do with this whole thing, and maybe we could put this product together. And we did get quite excited about it. And to such a point, when we got to our hotel, which was on Piccadilly, I went straight to the business centre as soon as we checked in, and I commandeered a flip chart pad. And I took the flip chart pad up to our room, and we basically spent our night away mapping out the MyMag product. And we filled several sheets of flip chart paper with what was going to be in it. We mapped out the whole thing, and we had a plan. And again, just to be clear, it was the benefit of concentrated effort. Mm. And that was over a few hours. The work you guys have done was over a few weeks. But the principle is the same. When I came back from America 2011, this is long story, someone had pitched me an idea. I thought it was a good idea. We had a meeting. We incepted a project team. That was 12 weeks, that project. And 12 weeks to the day after we launched it, after the project was kicked off, we launched the product. And that product was our fastest ever £1 million business, because we got to £1 million in just over 6 weeks from a standing start on a brand new product. But again, it was a manifestation of concentrated effort being worth more than just effort. Now, the danger when people listen to this, well, that's horrible for you, Nadj, you've got a team of people and stuff. Well, yeah, but hang on, you've got access to a team of people as well. And indeed, as we are recording this, Andy, you and I are mapping out another project.
Yeah.
That actually, potentially is going to be just as exciting as the implementation plans and what we do with that. And we'll run it in the same kind of way, because this project approach is how you get big stuff done, and it's how you do move your business forward. And there's lots of ways that you can get access to resources and people, because you will need help of some sort as you go along the line. But the most important thing is that you're thinking about this in the right way. And if you are nurturing I mean the thing dilutes down to almost any level in truth. You can adopt the same approach to getting your AdWords campaign live, or getting your autoresponders done, or setting up your Infusion follow-up campaign. You know, there can be 9-hour projects rather than 9-week projects or 9-day projects. But actually just getting this sense that actually, right, I've cleared that time, I'm going to get it done. And the notion, because I know we joke a bit about you were locked in the war room, although that was kind of true, because I mean, you didn't come into the main office like at all, did you, during the day? And that was important then.
Absolutely, it was a good break, because people knew they couldn't come to you with what they considered their top problem. Well, actually, unless we completed this big project, there'd be even bigger problems. So we were free to concentrate, and everyone else had to figure out for themselves how to solve their own problems, rather than falling back on the old trustworthy.
And again, it's important, because that's a really important, I think, lesson from this whole thing, because the wheels did not fall off. The world did not end because eight people went to the war room. I'm not lying. There was inconvenience for others. People did have to cover. You know, a bit more work was done by some of your colleagues to make up for the things that you weren't doing. But they did it. And the end result is we've got something much more significant than we would have had you guys not been locked up away from there. And so I wanted to talk about it on the podcast, because I think some of you around that will find this kind of interesting, what we've gone through. But more importantly, it's on the podcast because I think it will be really useful as an approach for you to use in your business. Cameron, when, think about you're kind of 9 months into your kind of experience of the workplace. So I'm interested in your perspective on the whole kind of this concentrated effort.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, at uni, I think concentrated effort is something a lot of students use when we've got assignments and essays and coursework to do, because we often leave it till the last day and need to put in the concentrated effort of that, you know, final night,
yes,
to get the work done. And we do pull it off. So it just shows that concentrated effort.
The hero of students everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. It is effective.
But it is quite an interesting point, actually, because we all kind of know what you're talking about there. But the last minute is like the most important minute, because everything gets done at the last minute. But what happened here was a little bit different to that, because here, you were working flat out. I mean, there's a natural, it's a bit like a running, I think probably it's more like a kind of 10,000 meter race, because you were running fast all the way around, although the last lap was quicker, because there was a lot to get done in the run up to live date. And that's another important point here with this whole concept of war room and concentrated effort, is that you do have to have deadlines.
Yeah.
And you know, and the deadlines do have to mean something, because that's what drives it to get things done. I do remember the Friday, which was meant to be when it was all ready. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And it was late on a Friday evening, and you've been working hard all
before
day
Easter.
To
yeah.
try and get yeah, George, just before Easter. That's right. And trying to get everything ready to be out there, and we took stock, didn't we, about 6:30 on that Friday night, because it just wasn't quite ready.
Nathan had to go and watch Deadpool at the cinema. Yeah.
Deadpool.
It was so close. It was so close, but
it wasn't
no
worth
point
the
rushing
risk, was
it?
It wasn't.
Messing it up.
And so
sure it
and
done.
So what we did do, everyone went away and had a weekend, and we came back on the following Monday, and on that Monday everything was put to bed, and the I's were dotted and the T's were crossed. And the product was much, much better. And it's quite unusual. So I guess technically you missed the deadline, guys.
I think when you talk about deadlines, though, it was a realistic deadline. What you gave us to do the work in, if you'd have tried to tighten it down, the quality wouldn't have been as great as what it is. So it was a realistic deadline, but we had to work hard to achieve it. But I think that's the key when you are setting deadlines, that not trying to rush something, because otherwise it wouldn't be the standard that it is now.
So enough time, but not too much.
Yeah.
So you were doing all the technical stuff then, Nathan. What was your role? Let's give you some kind of credit here. So as far as, because people have listened to this now, they'll have seen the implementation plans. So I mean, that platform that it's built on, what's that in then?
Absolutely. So it's a WordPress base. Many of you will be familiar with the WordPress site, and then we have our own theme.
It sounded like you're on the Bake Off then. It's like a WordPress base with a custard tart and a little
Scotty covering,
a little trickle topping,
some marshmallows.
Yeah. So it's a WordPress base. Yeah.
So it's a WordPress base. When you've got the base of your cake.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of plugins that we've used quite regularly. One of them being iMember 360, which uh-huh. is what controls your login. So we know who you are, and when you log in, it contacts Infusionsoft and says, "Yep. Yeah, that person is real and they're allowed in," and lets you in.
Now, just stop there 1 second, because so the actual, that's the access piece, I get that.
Yeah.
But then the actual modules themselves, the implementation plans, so what are they built on?
So it's another plugin called WPEP Courses.
Okay, WPEP Courses. Now, is that the one that we started off using in the beginning?
No.
Ah, so what happened there, Cameron?
Nathan found what he thought was a really good piece of software.
Can you say, what you can't see here now is how Nathan's body language has changed.
Yeah, look at him.
As we're actually...
It's like a Bond villain.
So you're in a secure, safe place, Nathan, here. All is good. All will
friends.
Be well. So Nathan had found this plugin that we're going to utilise
yes.
to build the content in a way that would give us the functionality that we were looking for.
Yes.
Yeah, so what happened then, Cameron?
Well, we started using it. I think Emma actually built a couple IPs in this thing.
Yeah.
But it took Emma like an entire day to put one together.
That's
it
right.
wasn't the fastest, no.
No.
It was really good, but it just wasn't fast enough.
Well, you see, but at that point, I remember what was happening. I remember the conversations, Emma, and I think you may have been in the room, was we had to decide, was this Emma... or was it the software? This was the question at this point.
It was definitely the software.
But you, again, just to be clear, you don't know.
No.
Because Emma has many talents.
But she's not known for helping Nathan out with the technical side of the business. And it was a possibility that actually this could be a user issue here. So what did you do, Cameron?
So I am, well, first of all, I gave it a go myself to see if I could build an IP faster than Emma.
Okay.
I thought it would be easy, but it turns out it wasn't Emma. And the plugin we were using was awful from our perspective when it came to putting stuff
in. So it looked great when things were built, but as a platform to kind of get the content onto and build it in the right way with the flexibility, it wasn't very good.
Exactly. So I think it was over the weekend, I thought I'd have a little browse on the old interwebs and see if I could dig out anything that would be better. And lo and behold...
So just hang on, because this is interesting here, because So what did you do? Because I think this is really quite helpful here, and I think it does play into one of the real kind of kernels of entrepreneurship here. So, because we were facing a problem, and it never ceases to surprise me, actually, you know, the questions that we get here at EC, and some of which are not always of the highest quality. And I think as an entrepreneur, your success is defined to a large extent by your ability to kind of get stuff done and find solutions.
The podcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
So Nathan's away, the platform's there, it's taking too long to go on it. Emma's had a go, it's taken her a full day. We've just mapped out, that on the plan doesn't work, so we can't take 50 days to input them. This isn't going to work. You've had a go and worked out it's not Emma. We have got a problem here. So you've got a home and over the weekend. What have you done? How have you found this online?
Well, I started with a few Google searches, but I think because
What were you searching?
Well, that was the problem.
What is Nathan Bradley's location?
Let's go faster.
Yeah. So I think because I'm not as technical as Nathan, I didn't actually know what these things were called. So Google wasn't much help. But in my browsing, I actually found another site that used something which I thought looked good and could potentially work for us.
Okay.
So then I had to try and track down what these guys were using for their thing. So suddenly, it wasn't so much, I need a thing, it was, what is this thing?
Okay.
So it was kind of, well, I thought it would be easier. So some more Google searches later and nothing. But then I found out that these guys have their own Facebook group, like our members' Facebook group.
Okay, yeah.
And I requested to join and, you know, got accepted, obviously. And started browsing there because I figured I can't be the only one wondering what these guys are using because it did look really good.
Yeah.
So I was browsing the Facebook group, had a look, and lo and behold,
There's a phrase.
Look at that.
That's a 1920s. A new one for the podcast, that, isn't it? Lo and behold.
Well, lo and behold, a few pages down, someone had asked the exact question I wanted an answer for.
Okay.
And some guy from Italy had jumped on and said, you know,
this is where.
Hello. I did.
Colorado.
Is it me you're looking for?
He was your best friend, wasn't he? You kept going on about him for days.
He was brilliant. He was great, that guy.
Yeah, his name was Corrado.
Corrado.
Yeah, Corrado Izzo or something.
You used to drive one of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Back in the 80s.
But he basically said, I have this plugin. It does all this. It is great. Here it is. And I clicked on the link, and it was this cute little website, which basically had a buy button. But it was like $29, I think, forever.
We had to pass it past Suck, didn't we, to spend it.
So just to be clear, it wasn't $29 a month. It was
total. Forever.
Yeah.
Total. Like, that's it.
Okay, so Nathan, so you came back on holiday.
No, there was a challenge whilst we were on holiday that we had to contact. We thought, this looks... We made one in it. We thought, this is so quick. We did it in about half an hour, was it? We built. And we're going to have to convince Nathan now. We're going to have to convince him. Someone try... Emma, you call him. And he answers the phone. He goes, hello, I'm on holiday. And we go, you know that original program you found? That one that took a day? Yes, yes, yes. this. Oh, we found this one that takes half an hour. It looks totally amazing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this because I haven't found it myself. So I'm not sure whether I should. Well, why don't you have a look at it? I'll have a look at it. And you bloomin' love it now, don't you?
I took one on the chin there.
No, Nathan is an enlightened techie.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, because and I've worked with many. I have employed many techies, and it is indeed true that most techies do like to build stuff themselves, but Nathan is much more enlightened than that, and certainly he is with me anyway.
It's grimacing.
But that made your day, didn't it? Because the whole team could build on the.
No, absolutely.
It freed up a lot of your time.
Me as the bottleneck. The thing with techies is we'll always, if we find something and we know it works, we'll keep using it and keep using it. Often takes an outsider to break that pattern.
Yeah.
So if you've got a web guy that tells you there's only the one way of doing something, he's wrong.
Yeah.
He's just comfortable.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
To challenge that is absolutely great, and I love the initiative that comes from the team. Yeah.
So what is that? Should we ought to share, haven't we, really? So it's the little benefit. There's always a little nugget that you get on the podcast that you don't get elsewhere. So Karada, where is he?
He's
on Facebook.
Cameron was trying to work out what you're asking.
What's going on?
His technical helpline is messaging him on Facebook.
It's amazing.
Instantly, he'd reply.
Yeah.
It?
So
have a nice day.
The plugin is called WPEP, and I think his website is codeiscode.com.
Radical.
But have a Google. And the guy's name is Corrado. He's the nicest guy. We had a couple questions about it, and we just messaged him on Facebook. And within like 5 seconds, he was back on. Yeah.
So his website is code?
Codeiscode.com.
Codeiscode. WPEP is the is the plugin. Corrado is his name. And if you do get in touch and you do want to do something that replicates what we've done with the implementation plans using his platform, just say hi to him from us, and you can tell him how we told you what a fabulous chap he was.
He is a good guy.
He doesn't pay very big referral fees on his $29 product, does he? which isn't an issue. We have actually comped him in to free EC membership, and we've sent him the implementation plan on pricing. which is subtitled "Why Your Prices Are Almost Certainly Too Low and What You Should Do About It," and we've given him that free. And so it may have gone up.
Yeah.
We'll have a look. So you liberated the team then when you got this plugin in there. The team were now set to kind of go and input stuff because this again. Let's just cover some basics here because this might be obvious to us, but this is one of the beauties about WordPress sites in particular. But where the users can easily add content. It doesn't have to apply to something like an implementation plan, Nathan, does it? It can. Absolutely. It works on website content as well through a CMS, is that right?
That's it, CMS, content management system. And basically, you can have all the content generated by anybody, any member of staff, your kids.
Muggles,
let's go with. Anybody who can click a button can put content into WordPress, yeah. And then a developer, a web guy, someone who knows a little bit of code, can then style that in the back end without having to spend hours putting the content in. Because that's where your costs can really go up. You ask a web designer to make you a website and then send him a 20-page document of all the content. He'll build a website quite quickly, but he'll spend most time putting the content in. So if you're able to do that yourself, you could save yourself a fortune.
So now you're starting, the content's starting to come along. The technical platform's there. Andy, how did you make sure the quality of the content was okay, given that you've got like 7 people, you know, churning stuff out here?
Well, we had an internal QA process where we used a lot of different staff. We read each other's work, but you mustn't fall into the trap thinking when you read something, you think, oh, that's great, because sometimes it isn't. So I did an external QA check with quite a few members.
That sounds a bit medical, though.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. just get my gloves on. So I put a post on Facebook. I said, I need some help from some people. I had an overwhelming response from a lot of brilliant members. And they said, I'll help you, Andy, send me some stuff. So I wrote a questionnaire. I gave them 2 IPs each to look through. And
IPs
review.
Is the colloquial term in the Entrepreneur Circle office for implementation plan.
And they sent the comments back, very valid comments. Some, and it just goes to prove you read something over and over again, you think, that's great, and then you give it to someone else and they think, actually, you've missed something out there, and you think, crikey, how did I miss that? So it's always good to get stuff reviewed by an outer party, as it were. Is that such a word?
I think we're back to Armageddon now, aren't we?
Armageddon.
At this point, I mean, it's... I can't decide, actually, you know, it's where we are actually in the Armageddon plot at the moment. I think we're just about to land on the meteor.
I haven't been left on the meteor yet.
Not yet, but it's coming. the ultimate taking one for the team.
Yeah. Well, something else that was fantastic about the war room, we all missed the office flu that was going around
because the whole of the
entrepreneur circle got this terrible flu.
That is true, actually.
And we were all immune, and we had our own little hand gel station.
And I have actually made arrangements. This is no lie. I've already done this. Next year, or this year, in September, everyone is getting a flu jab. And the business is paying for the flu jabs.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because it just decimated the business.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at one point, I think we had 17 people off sick. And the people were not swinging the ledgers, to be clear. I mean, there were a lot of people were properly ill.
I
used to come in and just move straight into my office.
Yeah.
We'd go straight upstairs.
And you guys, you got through industrial size containers of hand gel, didn't you?
Well, we had hand gel, we had Dettol wipes, because every door handle was so OCD in the end, it was ridiculous. But none of us were ill.
Every time we high-fived, we put the hand gel on our hands.
When they walked out, spraying alcohol gel down their throats when they coughed. But again, nobody in that war room was off sick, and that's how we got that job. Done. You're not going to put anything else in those flu jabs, are you? Like some sort of special chemical to
track
out. Yeah, amphetamine to make us work faster.
So that's an interesting thought. So let's make sure we covered all the key points off here then, really, because the war room's the kind of name that we gave it. I can't even think where that came from, really. But the principle here is that we gave it concentrated effort. Because, I mean, it would have taken, I mean, months and months to try and do this. It would have been a classic case of a piece of work that would just... And you would all have got tired of it as well. Because part of the success of the project and what you've done was because, you know, the end was always in sight. Literally every day counted, didn't it?
Yeah.
You knew, because there was only like 9 weeks... And therefore, actually, when you start, oh, shit, look at all this work there is to do. Actually, every day counted. Your plan on the wall with the big, massive temporary whiteboard stuff was there. It was live and kicking. It was moving every day. You know, one or two things got behind. Because you put a couple of weekend shifts in, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which was all about catching up rather than getting ahead.
Yeah.
Because you just got behind a little bit in the week. Things are taking longer than you thought. Although, you know, sometimes when you're doing the work, I know, Emma, with one or two of the implementations that you owned, the truth of it is, as you got into it, you discovered like more stuff that needed to. So the plan became a lot bigger than you initially thought it would, and therefore there's the work expanded, the time expanded, and so rather than getting four done in this week, I've only got three. I've got to come in and work that through. But again, when you've got the right people on the project, the focus of the whole team was on delivering the project.
That's it. We were all in it together. We all had to come out the other end, and we put those weekend shifts in, and we stayed late, and we asked questions, and we challenged each other, and I think that's why it worked out the way it did, because we were all there.
And as an employer, this again is quite a useful insight, because if you give your people a clarity and a purpose, because I'm putting words in your mouth here, really, but because you did enjoy it a lot in
loved
that war room,
yeah,
didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And therefore, when you're doing anything that you enjoy, it feels a lot less like work, doesn't it? And if you can create that environment for your team as an employer, as a business owner, you get more from them. Does that make sense?
It was an opportunity, wasn't it? It was an opportunity to do something that none of us had ever done, and we didn't even know we were capable of doing, and it was great. It was exciting.
How were your colleagues? The people that are not in the war room.
Jealous.
Curious.
Sneezing. One of the best days was when we, at the end of it, when we presented it to them, because they really didn't understand what we were doing.
Yes, that's true,
and we got them upstairs in one of the training rooms, and we put the library, as it's called, on the big screen on the projector. And when you scroll down through that library and see all those, you know, there's nearly 60 of them there, they were just blown away. And we demonstrated, we went in and saw all the drop downs, and they were, you just
their
looked
faces
at
were
their
brilliant.
Faces were like, kind of, and they even gave us a standing ovation at the end.
I think you're imagining that bit.
Well, they were clapping.
And some of them were standing.
On their way out.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, a lot of our members haven't got a team the size that we have here. They're much smaller businesses. So bearing that in mind, you know, what advice or pointers would you give then to people listening to this? Around how they could perhaps leverage what you've learned and deploy it in their business.
It's giving people ownership. If you make somebody feel important, because that item, piece of work, project, whatever it may be, is ultimately theirs, and then they can go out and sing about it, run home to mum and go, "Mum, look what I did."
Yes.
Is
that what you did then?
Yeah, absolutely.
And me.
She smiles at me and goes, "Yes, dear, I'm going to smile because I don't understand, but that's lovely, I'll stick it on the fridge."
Now put the alcohol gel.
But that feeling of owning it, and when you finally get to the end, the achievement, it's fantastic. If you can give that to your employees, they will give you so much more.
So I think it's really well articulated, because that is the key here. Mm-hmm. And of course, one of the big things that gets in the way as a business owner is that, because we all think that we can do everything better than everybody else, and that therefore, you know, no matter how we brief it, what we do, our people won't do it as well as we do. And there comes a point, and this is a good, because like with a project like this, I mean, it was just, there's just no way. So almost in that way, think of something that's way too big. So you couldn't do it on your own if you wanted to. So you've got to get them on board, and then look at how can you cut them loose. And it may be that you know locking them away in a different room for 9 weeks is not an option. But what could happen? Because I tell you what you could do. I bet you could effectively close off for a day.
Yeah.
I bet you could get your phones diverted somewhere. I bet you could close for a day. To put some concentrated effort in to get some things that you've been on your list for a while crossed off and move your business forward, and if they roll those things up and get enjoying, you know, and get stuck into that, then you could do it again. And the only thing stopping you creating and finding concentrated effort in truth is you. And it's a little bit like what Nathan said about his web developer. You know, if a web developer tells you there's only one way to do it, then they're lying. And if a business owner says, "That won't work in my business, I can't get concentrated effort," do you know what? You're lying too. Profound words, Nathan. Emma, what, lasting thoughts, final comments from you?
Yeah, I think the timing thing's, you know, the really important part, where if you give somebody some time to focus on one thing, you know, you can't do 10 things really well. You could do them okay, but when you're just focusing on one thing, that's when the results are much higher. So I think, because we were all upstairs focusing on one thing, that's why we had the results. So if you can't afford to give somebody 9 weeks to be away doing something else, just give them one thing to work on for a shorter amount of time, and the results will be a lot better.
There's a book about that, you know.
There is, of course. There is, about the 90 minutes.
There's a book about the one thing.
Oh, I thought it was about the 90 minutes chunks.
You just said the one thing, like, 7 times.
Look at your book.
I thought, okay. Emma's teaming up nicer here. Nathan's screwed off to look for it. He doesn't need to look. Nathan, it's by Gary Keller, is the book. And it is called The One Thing. And he's written the whole book, which is basically says what Emma just said in a minute there. If only she'd realised how profound she has been and not recognised
another
90 book.
90 minutes does come into
other books are available.
Time.
Yes, well no, actually, that, yeah, that is also very true. You are right. The concentrated efforts absolutely can manifest itself as in 90 minutes. And in that regard, one of the frustrations that I have right now is that there are still, I mean, we've basically got about a third of Entrepreneur Circle members are using the 90-minute tracker, and which means that two-thirds aren't. And in terms of seriousness about making progress or achieving goals this year, we now know, really, which people are going to be more likely to get it. Because the 90-minute tracker is a great way to start to plan what your concentrated effort, focus on that one thing, and start to make it happen. Andy, final thoughts from you? We'll leave it to just before you get blown up by the atomic bomb.
Yeah. Well, the thing that helped us the most, I think, was the planning. That wall. If we didn't have that wall with all those little post-it notes on that timeline, we would have come in the morning and we would just said to each other, "Oh crikey, what is it we've got to do
where
today?"
Did we start?
It was that focused plan.
Oh crikey!
Jolly
hell, Andy, boy!
Lo and behold. that was what did it. I love that wall. It was so sad when we took all that back off the wall. That helped us so much. It's just that focused plan and all those deadlines that we had, because we had a lot of different deadlines actually on there. That was the best part of it for me. And the team bonded brilliant. We're such a strong team. We're a much stronger team now, and I'm grateful for all my fabulous colleagues I have working with me.
Look
at that smile she gave me there.
Let's have a little hug.
Now, for the benefits of you listening in black and white, Emma just cuddled Andy.
Yeah.
Cameron, final word from you.
I would say, if you're planning a war room session of your own, just be warned how much you will learn about the people in the war room with you during that time, because we've learned quite a lot, mainly about Emma.
Oh yeah.
All sorts. We also learned that Andy knows all the words to every Frozen song.
Yeah, we made Joe cry.
Joe doesn't like Frozen.
Yeah, we all sang Frozen one day, and Joe cried, didn't she? Yeah. I think she had a lot of work to do that day, and we thought we'd try and cheer her up by singing Disney, and that
and we
didn't
performed
work.
It.
And you made it worse, and she
we
cried.
Made it worse.
Let it go! Let it go!
Love is an open door, actually, is what it was.
Listen, I hope that's been a helpful podcast. Thank you guys for sharing your war room experience with me. Nathan, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
Cameron, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Back to uni. Emma, you've been delightful as ever.
Thank you.
Bruce.
Yes.
It's time to press the button.
You're leaving me on the
meter.
Oh,
yeah. Goodbye.
Go home now, back to our families.
You've been listening to The Botcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.